This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Brandon Kiley, you just heard on Sports Update on the ones and twos. He is the producer of the show. To my right, it is the sports machine, wine machine slash ATM machine, Sean Levine. How you doing, my man?
Trying to make fun of me. Can't even get your words out. Sweet Daria t-shirt, by the way. I like that character.
It's an amazing television show. That's the last time you watched MTV, when Daria was actually on the network. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Today's show is going back to normal. We are not going to talk about child abuse or domestic violence. We're going to talk about sports.
It's about time.
For the next 4 hours. We do have to talk about KCTV 5, and I believe his name is Casey Clark. He is the boss over there. He is the program director over at KCTV 5, and his comments. We'll get into that coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But, BK, let's do this. I know it is a Thirsty Thursday where we will give you 16 chances to win gift cards, so let's do this. Right now, we'll do 913-576-7610. We will give you a chance to win Andy's ice cream. We do that every day at 2 o'clock. We'll give you the chance to win Andy's ice cream. And then at the end of the hour, we will give you the chance, the end of the segment, we'll give you the chance to win the Ainsworth. And then we'll double up in the segment and give you two chances to win prizes. Again, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get into Casey Clark and what he had to say of KCTV 5 as they had a response to not releasing the full Tyreek Hill audio. That is the only time we will talk about Tyreek Hill today, but I do think it's important to respond to what KCTV 5 had to say yesterday. Coming up at 2:30, we'll catch up with J.J. Cooper of Baseball America. There is not a man in the country that follows minor league baseball better than J.J. Cooper. We will have him on in a little bit to talk about Bubba Starling. Let's get into this. The big news, the breaking news of the day in Kansas City is a day, Sean, that you have been waiting for a long time. Bubba Starling has finally been called up. It is time for Bubba, according to Cody Tapp.
It's time. It's been long enough. He's finally performing at his best. This is the time for him to get a shot. So I'm excited, you know, for a guy that went through everything he went through to finally get his call. That's a big moment.
Like Cody said, this is his time. Why not at this point? The Royals are what? Tons under 500. They're 30-something games back in the division. Bubba's hitting .310. Billy Hamilton's not exactly tearing the cover off the baseball. Bubba's been around since 2012. At some point, and I understand he's out of options, but at some point they were going to have to bring him up. So I think, CDOT, the timing makes sense. And I don't think they brought him up because they think he's going to tear the cover off the ball or help them win baseball games. I just think that the timing makes sense for Bubba to come up right now.
Yeah, I mean, the timing definitely makes sense for Bubba to come up. This is my question, and I can admit that I do not have the answer to this question. What are the current expectations for Bubba Starling? Because you have been way more excited to see Bubba come up than I've been. I have been resigned to the fact of Bubba's probably going to be a fourth outfielder and a fringe major league player. I understand that he is from Gardner-Edgerton. I understand that he has been created as some mythical creature, at least in high school lore here in Kansas City. But if I'm looking at the present day, if I'm looking at 2019 and my expectations for Bubba Starling, I don't know how you can be anywhere close to what it was in 2011. I mean, let's just look at the class of players that were around him. Gerrit Cole, Trevor Bauer, Dylan Bundy, Bubba Starling was the fifth overall pick, Anthony Rendon, Francisco Lindor, Javi Baez, George Springer, Jose Fernandez, RIP. That time is way past for Bubba Starling. He's not turning into Francisco Lindor or Sonny Gray or one of those kind of prospects. So I don't really know what to expect for Bubba Starling coming into this major league debut.
Of course, that ship has sailed. I don't think he's going to be that guy. You don't think he's going to be one of those guys. Was he worth the pick that the Royals spent on him? Absolutely not when you read off the other players that surrounded him in that draft. But I do think it's going to create at least mild excitement at Kauffman Stadium. The question is, for how long? If Bubba would have come up a few years ago when the Royals were good, or if Bubba would have come up at the beginning of the season, I think there would have been an actual excitement level that you could tell at Kauffman Stadium. At this point, I think it's going to be a bunch of factors combined. I think tomorrow night, You're going to get a chance to see Bubba Starling, the kid from Gardner-Edgerton we've been talking about for a long time. It's Friday night. The weather should be good. It's the first game back from the All-Star break. It's a Buck night. There's fireworks. So I think when you combine all of those things, tomorrow you're going to see some butts in the seats at Kauffman Stadium. My question is, how long does Bubba Starling really keep the excitement level high in Kansas City?
I do think there's going to be buzz for at least the weekend. I think tomorrow is a nice game to be at. I don't want to call it a big day in Royals history or a big day at Kauffman Stadium. It's a nice game to be at. As you alluded to, first game back from the All-Star break. It should be warm. It's the summer. Nobody can say the kids got school the next day. Everybody's off work the next day, or a majority of people. I don't say everybody, but a majority of people are off the next day. It should be a nice attendance boost. Now, I don't really know what that is. I think it's different when we reach with Bubba, because there was a time where Bubba Starling coming up was the biggest deal in Kansas City. Yeah. There was a time where you could not do a Royals interview or talk to Ned Yost or talk to Dayton Moore, and Bubba Starling's name did not come up. I legitimately don't know what the expectation is. I don't want to say that people have turned on Bubba, but I think you have been pump faked and led to believe one thing, and so much time has passed. Think about how long they tell you normal prospects come up. They tell you it takes 2 to 3 years. It's taken Bubba 8 years to get here. Think about it. The Royals were a terrible team, won the World Series, and they're back to being a terrible team in the entire 8 year, two presidential cycles since they drafted Bubba Starling. I just don't know what fans are expecting from Bubba Starling.
That's part of the story, though. What you're talking about is the tale of what could have been. Obviously, we all heard his name from a young age out of Gardner-Edgerton High School. He could have played football. He could have played baseball. He chose the baseball route. So I agree with you. It's crazy to think that back when the Royals drafted him, they were a terrible baseball team, or at least a bad baseball team. Then they became the elite team in the major leagues, and now they're bad again, and Bubba is just now coming up. It certainly took a lot longer than I thought, but again, part of the story is perseverance. Part of the story is a guy that stuck around. I'm not going to give him credit because he's been making a ton of money at the minor league level. I mean, more money than most guys that don't ever make it to the majors will ever make in their careers. But I do give Bubba credit a little bit for sticking around, and hopefully he can – he's not going to hit 310 at the big leagues like he's hit at the minor league level, but I think he can have some production at some point.
I want to play this for you. This is Cody Tapp talking about realistic expectations.
He's finally starting to figure out his offense. As far as, like, what type of player he is, this year he's a guy who shows, you know, who shows the ability that Billy Hamilton has in center, right? He's an excellent defender, and then maybe similar plate skills – but with the upside being better than that, because he actually has his power, right? He has power that can go with that, so he can run into a few. But I don't think he's going to be a high average guy. I don't think he's going to be a high on base percentage guy in the early going, because no part of his minor league career suggests that that's the way it's going. I think just occasional power, a really good center field, and a chance to, you know, improve a little bit offensively here.
I'm a little surprised with you, Sports Machine. Maybe this is like the early part of the season when you thought the Royals had 7 All-Stars where you were really excited, and then some time passed. 3-4 weeks ago, you couldn't wait for Bubba to get up. Every day you were ready for Bubba to get up. You don't seem that excited about something you've been waiting a long time for.
Yeah, because now it's actually here, and I look at the standings, and I recognize this team's not going anywhere, and Bubba's probably –
they weren't going anywhere when you were excited about Bubba coming up. Again, that ain't changed.
Again, I think that if we're talking about what's the reason to be excited the second half of the season for this baseball team, then yes, you should be excited. What other reasons do you have to be excited about the second half for the Kansas City Royals? Because I think that here's what we need to point out. This isn't Nicky Lopez. When Nicky Lopez came up, it wasn't nearly a big deal. There wasn't nearly as much fanfare, but he forced his way up. He was hitting, I think, 354 at the time the Royals brought him up. I think this is a timing issue with Bubba Starling, where yes, he's hitting 310. He's finally hitting the baseball at the minor league level, but I just think it's a situation where they don't have a player that's playing really good at the major league level. That's Billy Hamilton at the position they're going to put Bubba at. The team's not heading anywhere, so it just made sense to bring him up right now. I don't think the Royals have high expectations for Bubba either. I just think the timing makes a lot of sense.
BK, let me ask you this, because you follow Major League Baseball more closely than both of us.
Are you excited at all?
I think Bubba's going to be a 4A player. No.
Okay.
The only reason to be excited about Bubba Starling is because of where he went to high school. I'm serious. The only reason people are excited about Bubba Starling is because of the high school he went
to.
Yes, that's true.
If Bubba Starling had went to some high school in Florida, we wouldn't even be talking about this today, to be completely honest. He's an average baseball player. Now, I know he was a great high school player, and again, I understand that he is Bo Jackson to a generation of Kansas Cityans. The stories that you've heard about Bubba as a high school athlete are one of mythical proportions. I remember being told a story one time. He had a ground ball that went to the warning track. You know how hard you got to hit a ball for it to roll to the warning track as a high school player? You got to hit a ball hard. But I'm saying of tracking him as a major league baseball player, there is little reason to be excited about the production you could potentially see from Bubba Starling. So to answer your question, no, I'm not that excited. I get why other people are excited about Bubba Starling, but me, no, I'm not that excited.
Well, nobody's as excited as they were, what was it now, 7 years and change ago when they drafted this kid named Bubba Starling.
I mean, he's excited about it 3 weeks ago. I wasn't excited then.
More excited than you.
No, I'm
clearly more excited than you.
You're right. I've never been excited for
I'm not going out and buying a Bubba Starling jersey, but I'm more excited than you to see Bubba Starling playing a Royals uniform.
A guy who was the number 5 overall pick who has now taken 8 years to get here, and I look at the rest of his class, and guys could potentially go to the Hall of Fame and go to multiple All-Stars about a guy who you think it's just, well, it's time he should come up.
Would you rather, as a fan, would you rather go out and see Billy Hamilton or go out and watch Bubba Starling play the rest of the way?
Bubba Starling.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, then there's reason to be excited.
Yeah, no, there's some reason.
Get excited.
There's
Bubba's
some reason.
Here.
You're right. And for the 19,000 people that will be at the game, I'm sure it'll be a great time. BK, what are your expectations? What's a realistic thing to hold Bubba Starling to?
So, I mean, if you want to hold him to something, I don't know. Like, literally nothing. The floor is the floor. Like, there is no floor here. He might not be a major leaguer. That's absolutely in play. If you're looking for a player comp of, like, what does he look like if things go well when he gets to the major leagues, the player comp is Kevin Kiermaier. I understand most of our audience probably never watched Kevin Kiermaier, but here's what he is. He's a really good defender who could potentially win you a gold glove at some point in his career. And when he gets to the big leagues and he's hitting at the plate, he's not very good. He's a 240-ish hitter. He gets on base about 30% of the time, and he slugs a little bit. He'll hit you like 10 to 15 home runs over the course of the season. So basically what he is, he's Billy Hamilton with a little more pop. That's what you're hoping for. You're hoping for Billy Hamilton that hits for a little more power.
Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Yeah, you two are really getting me pumped up for
Billy
this.
Billy Hamilton with a little more pop. That's what you should be excited about the fifth
overall. I mean, what do you want from me? The guy's not very good.
From 2011. Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you a chance to win a Luca's Wine and Spirits Superstore gift card. Right now, we'll give you a chance to win an Ainsworth gift card. We've got $25. 913-576-7610. Call in number 6. You win a $25 gift card to the Ainsworth. Coming up, we respond to what KCTV5 had to say yesterday about the release of the full audio of Tyreek Hill next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will catch up with J.J. Cooper of Baseball America. There is not a man in this country that knows minor league prospects better than J.J. Cooper. We'll talk to him about the debut of Bubba Starling tomorrow night at Kauffman Stadium coming up at 2:30. Right now, it is your chance to win a $25 gift card to Luca's Wine and Spirits Superstore in a class by itself. Call number 6, 913-576-7610. You are the winner if you are calling number 6 for a $25 gift card to Luca's Wine and Spirits Superstore. Again, coming up at 2:30, we will catch up with J.J. Cooper of Baseball America. So before we get into the audio yesterday from KCTV5, I would like to be very clear. I have absolutely no criticisms directed towards Danny Welniak. I don't feel like she was placed in a very good situation. I felt like the interview was very controlled, and she didn't appear to have the ability to ask follow-ups. And as someone that does interviews for a living, that is a very important part of an interview. If the person you were interviewing or the interviewee says something and you want additional information or to challenge something that they say, you simply ask a follow-up question. That wasn't available to her yesterday, so none of my criticisms and what we are going to talk about is directed at Danny Welniak in any way. So if you missed it yesterday on their locker room show on KCTV5, Casey Clark, who was the news director, the program director at KCTV5, explain why KCTV5 made the decision to not release the entirety of the Tyreek Hill audio. So let's go through. He was asked 4 questions. Timeline of how things came together, why they chose not to release the full audio, why 2014 is not newsworthy, and what he would do differently. Let's go through the 4 answers that he gave and react to them. So this is the first one, his timeline of how things came together.
Well, let's take a minute to think about what exactly the time parameters were when we released that. We had gotten the audio delivered to us on, I believe it was Sunday, and the person who gave it to us did not give us permission at that time to air it. They gave us permission to verify it. So we spent a few days making sure that the people on the audio were in fact Crystal and Tyreek. And then after the district attorney on Wednesday said that he believed a crime had been committed, but he could not prosecute, that's when our source came back to us and said, you can run with the audio. So the following day, that's what we did. And being that it was specifically about the relationship that Crystal and Tyreek had with their son and the mess that that had become, the story was focused on that.
So let's get into this. One question I would ask is, when your source or whoever gave you the audio and said you can run with it, did they tell you to run with all of it or to make editorial decisions on what you should run with? That seems like a very important distinction. And one thing that I think is intellectually dishonest, and I felt like much of what he had to say was intellectually dishonest, is the person that gave you the audio gave it to a media company. They then don't get to dictate the release of the information. The moment that you relinquish control of the audio and hand it to a media company, you have then left it up to the media company to decide what it's going to be. It's also fair to point out, if you never wanted that point, that part of the audio to be released, why did you give it to the media company? If the plan of the person that gave it to KCTV5 said, hey, I'm cool with you running the things about the child abuse, but I don't want you running the things about 2014, why would you have ever given it to them? That part was not answered yesterday by Casey Clark.
I don't understand why you would pick and choose the stuff that they decided to that was inappropriate. Like the part, so it's okay to talk about, you should be terrified of Me Too, B, that's going to be out there. Because he, later on in the interview, and we'll get to this, talks about how there were certain parts that he didn't want to be out there on the internet because he didn't want Tyreek's kids to deal with it in the future. They're going to have to deal with all this crap. It's out there whether you post it or not. So I don't understand why they chose the things that they did play and chose to omit other things. That's the part to me that's just most confusing.
And I will say this. This is one of the few things that I will defend Casey Clark in, knowing our own timeline for trying to get it on the air. It is not a one-to-one process. I understand that people may think that we decided to hold it to the All-Star break and waited when it was slow. It's not what happened. So I do understand KCTV5. Now, I think the way that they phrase it of, we had it, they wouldn't let us release it, and then when the criminal investigation or had started or concluded or whatever the exact term is, then they said you can run it. But once you get something like that and they are talking about an ongoing criminal investigation, it is not a very simple person hands it to you, play it. It is a lot of checks and balances and parameters that it has to be run through in order for you to be able to play the audio. So I will back KCTV5 in that, but there's not much else to back them on.
I get that you don't play everything raw, that our business, radio, TV, we edit stuff down, but they've got a website, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. So if they wanted people to be able to make their own judgment with the full information, but they didn't have the time or they didn't think that it was worthy to put at the beginning of their newscast, there's a thing called a website that I'm pretty sure they have. Maybe you should throw it up there so people can make their own decision.
And also, like, if we're talking about the timeline had no effect on whether or not they were able to play the full thing. Like, it's just two different arguments. He's saying, well, let's go back and look at this timeline here. Yes, I completely understand why you didn't play it right away. Completely understand. I'm with you, C-Dot. It's not an easy process to be able to air something like this. But once you get it cleared, you've had the full thing cleared. And now you made the decision, and we'll get to this, I know, but you made the decision editorially to only play certain chunks in it. And that's been the problem. That the process of how long it took you to play it was never really my issue with this.
And you also have to figure out in how it was packaged. That's part of it, too. Let's play this. So Casey Clark, he is the news director, program director at KCTV5. This is cuts from his interview yesterday on the Locker Room show. Another thing that was very weird about it, they tried to make it seem like he was in some remote location. They work together. They're in the same building. Like, just the way it was packaged was just very, very odd to me. So here's Casey Clark explaining the decision to not release the full audio.
Maybe it's a generational thing for me, but first and foremost, I'm not a digital first guy. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I think TV first. And when you take anything raw and post it online, there are unintended consequences. And we tried to think through a bunch of those. And one of the first ones that really bothered me was we didn't know if our source could be identified by the audio if we posted it in its entirety. The audio that we have has a very distinct beginning and a very distinct end. And if we posted it in its entirety, Crystal probably would know who was the person that shared it with us. So that was the first thing. The other thing is, there's a disturbing part in there where Tyreek talks about not wanting to have children. And I, as a dad, looked at that and said, I would hate to have something like that live in perpetuity on the internet. And I couldn't live with myself if we had taken a chunk of something like that and given it life forever. So I just felt like it was better for us if we took the parts that were relevant, put them on the news. We're not a blog. We're not 24-hour talk radio. We are journalists. We make editorial calls every day. We decide what to keep and what not to keep all the time. And that's where we drew the line.
I know we don't have a whole lot of time, BK, so I'll try to move quick. He's correct. We all make editorial calls. Everything that you guys hear on the radio is not 100% unedited. Sometimes we record interviews and we chop questions out that weren't good or answers that weren't good. We have never compromised our integrity in an interview. That's what they did here. For him to say, oh, I'm not a digital first guy. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did they not use the Tyreek Hill audio to promote their app? I'm not wrong in that, right?
No, that's exactly what happened.
They literally told you to download the KCTV5 app to hear the Tyreek Hill audio. Whose decision did that come from? That wasn't Danny Welniak. That wasn't Tom Martin's. That was you, the boss. So you were using the Tyreek Hill audio to try to promote your digital space. And then when he says that releasing it on the internet would have unintended consequences, and I talked about that with myself, releasing it the way you did had consequences. That's the game we play on both sides of the coin. They are talking about an ongoing criminal investigation regarding a 3-year-old child and a domestic violence incident in 2014. There were always going to be consequences on one side of the coin if you decided to release that audio. You just chose to package it and frame it in such a way that, I'm sorry, is intellectually dishonest. And when he says that they have a certain audio that has a distinct beginning and a distinct end, if you got audio that we didn't release, release it. We released everything that we got. I can sleep well knowing that the audio that we received is the entire audio that you've heard. If there's parts of that audio that we haven't heard and there's more in there, release it. Because you guys looked like fools yesterday. I'm sorry, you looked like fools yesterday. I've never seen someone talk but say absolutely nothing. And that's exactly what happened yesterday with Casey Clark.
For 6 minutes with his own news team, it's like I don't believe that he didn't know what the questions were ahead of time. He was acting like he didn't know what the questions were ahead of time. He didn't do a very good job with that. But to come out and say, as the boss of a news company in 2019, that I'm not a digital guy, I would say either be one or don't tell everybody that's the situation.
Coming up in just a bit, we will catch up with J.J. Cooper of Baseball America. We'll also give you another chance to win a $25 gift card to the Ainsworth. J.J. Cooper is the editor over at Baseball America. There's not a man in this country that knows minor league baseball better than him. Stick around.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Caller number 6-2-913-576-7610 wins a $25 gift card to the Ainsworth. If you want to go out and have a great meal, it's a really nice location. Caller 913-576-7610. Call up caller number 6. You win a $25 gift card to the Ainsworth. I want to head to the phone line to catch up with J.J. Cooper. There is not a man in America that knows minor league baseball better than J.J. Cooper. He is an editor over at Baseball America. JJ, thanks a lot for coming on with us today.
Happy Bubba Starling Day, guys.
Happy Bubba Starling Day to you. Let's just start with this. Why did it take Bubba's bat so long to come around when most people agree that defensively he's already been ready to come up?
He's just not a very natural hitter. It's funny. I was just thinking through, you know, different years seeing him in the minors. And really, I remember watching a BP session with, I think he was on the same team with Adalberto Mondesi all the time in High A Wilmington, and just watching batting practice and realizing it's like, man, he just has trouble squaring the ball up. And hey, credit to him, he stuck with it. I still don't think, if you look at his numbers, they look really good. Then you have to remember that the Pacific Coast League this year, statistics are insane. So it's a good year, not a great year, but absolutely credit to him. He has really scuffled year after year after year. He's stuck with it, and he's getting a reward for it because you're right. Defensively, base running-wise, all those ways, he's been ready for a long time to be a big leaguer. But most important thing is, can you hit? And that's been the big struggle for Bubba.
For those listening right now that have heard of this great Bubba Starling for years now but haven't actually seen him play, how would you describe the type of ball player Bubba is?
So let's rewind, because again, 2011 draft, which is amazing. It's 2011 draft. Like, to put it in perspective, Jose Fernandez was a high school player in that 2011 draft, had a significant big league career, you know, unfortunately has passed away, and that's a while back. Byron Buxton was another, you know, Carlos Correa. It's amazing how long it's been, but with Bubba, you know, this exceptional athlete, you know, multi-sport star in high school, football, baseball, basketball, and that was always the question. It was, okay, the athleticism is exceptional, but how much does he have to catching up, does he have to do on the baseball diamond, because he has not played as much. He also did not face the same level of competition as, say, Mike Moustakas, or someone who grew up, you know, playing baseball in high school in California, things like that. And it always was, the hitting always has been a little bit of a scuffle for Bubba. You know, his first full year out of the draft, most guys, especially high picks like him, their heads are straight off to the Midwest League or Valley League. And he was held back because he wasn't ready. It's been like that kind of, it's been a slow go all along. But what you're talking about is a player who can play a really good center field, can play anywhere in the outfield. The arm works in right also. You can play him anywhere in the outfield. He's not like he's a guy who's faster underway than he is. He's not like a quick twitch, you know, Billy Hamilton type. But once he gets moving, he can really run. He can steal bases. But the big thing is he going to make enough contact to get to his power? He's gotten a little better at that. Still not, you know, it's still, I would say, more of a backup outfielder profile, but he can now say he's a big leaguer, which is a big improvement from a couple of years ago when you kind of wondered, okay, is he going to be heading back to Nebraska to see if he can still play quarterback?
Right now we're talking to J.J. Cooper. He is an editor over at Baseball America. There are a few people that know minor league baseball better than J.J. J.J., can you help me understand and maybe project his athleticism? Because everybody that comments on Bubba Starling speaks on his athleticism. How would you compare it to other baseball players? I know obviously in high school he was super athletic. How would you compare it to other baseball players, his athleticism?
The funny thing about that is that some of him, when we talk about athleticism with him, a lot of that comes back to kind of body control, strength, agility, things like that, which are important, but it doesn't translate as easily as when we talk about Billy Hamilton. Billy Hamilton's athletic, but when we talk about Billy Hamilton, you're talking about one of the fastest guys, you know, you're ever going to see, you know. Well, Bubba's always been, you know, he's never been that quick twitch guy who's going to run, you know, a 3-9 to first base from home plate or anything like that. But it's a strong, you know, strong athleticism with body control. It's what gave him that versatility to be a absolutely legit Division I, you know, quarterback prospect as well. But the funny thing about that is that it does show in the outfield, where he's a really good outfielder defensively. But a lot of his athleticism aren't things that translate so easily onto the baseball diamond. And that's kind of been part of the issue, I guess you could really say as well. He's strong, but it's not like something where he's ever shown that he has the potential to be a 30 home run guy, which was kind of a hope when he was drafted. But that's not who he's ended up being. He's fast, but again, it's more of a first to third, first to home fast than it is I'm going to lay down a bunt and no one has a chance, or I'm going to chop an infield chopper and beat it out. That's not really been much of him. So he is very athletic, but it is kind of it's not always that his athleticism is a perfect fit with baseball, if that makes sense.
The Royals brought up Nicky Lopez a couple of months ago, JJ, and he was tearing the cover off the ball at the minor league level and not so much at the big league level. When it comes to Bubba, how long do you think it's going to take him to catch up to speed?
Well, I mean, again, you know, I do not want to rain on Bubba, you know, Bubba Starling Day, but he's having a good year at AAA. But Brett Phillips, who I think everyone, you know, every Royals fan has at least some idea of now, you know, he's been up a little bit. Brett Phillips, another outfielder, is having every bit as good a year in AAA, if not better than Bubba. His batting average is way less, but he's getting on base more and he's hitting for more power. The other thing that is kind of, I'll be interested to see is from every scout I've ever talked to, I'd say most of them would kind of agree with the statement that Bubba Starling is not a guy who his swing is so easy that, you know, if he's on the bench for 3 days and then he gets, you know, four at-bats, that it stays, you know, he stays right and locked in. It's a little more maintenance than that. And so if he's playing every day, you kind of can expect, I think, a little bit more than if he's playing kind of infrequently. He's not the guy who can come off the bench in the eighth inning and you feel like that swing's just so simple and easy and locked in that it's no problem. So that's kind of something to watch for as well. I don't want to sound too skeptical, but I think he's going to produce more value defensively, you know, base running, things like that, than it is going to be a real offensive star, I guess would be the way to put it.
Right now we're talking to J.J. Cooper over at Baseball America. J.J., to get you out of here and to kind of summarize things, what do you think is a realistic expectation for Bubba, and what would you say his ceiling is? Because as you kind of alluded to, you're going back to that 2011 class. I mean, there's no way he hits that kind of ceiling like Gerrit Cole or Trevor Bauer or Francisco Lindor. What do you think is now a realistic ceiling for what kind of baseball player Bubba Starling can be?
A guy who gets some useful at-bats in the big leagues and, you know, on a rebuilding team, you can maybe give him at-bats to see if he's, you know, if this improvement continues. I don't think that he's a cornerstone of a rebuild in any way. I think that, you know, again, if he proves that he can be a versatile, useful, you know, backup outfielder or platoon regular kind of guy, I think that would be an exceptional result considering where he's been, you know, in the past 3-4 years, where there's been some years where he just looked completely lost at the plate. So this is a big step forward for him. I struggle to find scouts, though, who see future, you know, everyday regular. And again, hey, let me make clear, you know, I would be happy to be wrong on that. You know, at Baseball America, we don't root against players having success, but I still would be a little skeptical that you're talking about a future big league regular, even though he was a first-round pick.
And that's J.J. Cooper, editor over at Baseball America. J.J., really appreciate you making the time today. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
That is J.J. Cooper joining us today on The Drive. As someone who was 2 months ago the president of the Bubba Starling fan club, did hearing what he say change your opinion at all on Bubba?
I may have been the vice president. I think you made a little bit more than, you know, I mean.
I don't agree with that. I think you were definitely leading the way.
Guys, what reason was there to be excited for Royals baseball back when I was getting excited for Bubba Starling? You're acting like they were winning baseball games and they had all these guys coming up from the minor league level compared to what else was going on. It's pretty damn exciting that you've got an opportunity for a kid from Gardner-Edgerton to come up and let's just see what he is. I'm with you. I'm with what JJ said. At this point, his ceiling is probably fourth outfielder, maybe at some point. He can become an everyday player, but nobody expects him to be the guy that's hitting .310 right now at the minor league level.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we will catch up with Josh Vernier. He will join us in studio as the longtime Royals pre- and post-game host. He certainly fielded a lot of questions about Bubba Starling. We'll give you another chance to win a gift card to Luca's Wine and Spirits Superstore coming up. But first, it's been a while. We'll all take a minute coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, we will get into a brand spanking new Levine's List. I'm not going to lie to you. I've missed the Levine's List.
I didn't at all.
I mean, I've enjoyed the last couple of days.
You're literally the only one that missed them.
Enjoy, I definitely missed them.
Yeah, enjoy is a strong word the last 2 days, but it's been an exciting time here at the station. But the thing I miss most, over Mind of the Machine, over One Gotta Go, over the Pack-A-Day giveaway, was a brand
spanking
new. Oh,
come on. You know you missed the Pack-A-Day giveaway.
If we do it, I don't ever know when it's going to be done.
That's true.
It might not get done. Oh, I missed
it. It just might be 7 seconds late.
And then, I don't even know what this Levine's List is. This could be anything. I have no clue. You could do top 10 Disney movies. You could do, I have no clue.
You want me to tell you? You want to wait?
No, don't tell me.
No. All right.
I want to be surprised when you tell me what today's new Levine's List is. Right now, we'll give you a chance to win a $25 gift card. BK, correct me. I think that it's Lucas. But the text line has given me 5 different pronunciations for the name of this place. I want to get it correct because I have to read it 7 more times today.
It's so Lucas.
I want to get it correct.
It's Lucas.
Lucas?
Yeah, Lucas is in the name.
Okay.
Like pretend like it's a C instead of a K, and you've got it.
Okay, that's what I said. But then the text line kept saying I was wrong, and I was pronouncing it incorrectly. So I want to make sure I properly pronounce.
Last time you said Luca.
He called like Luka Doncic.
Like Luka Doncic is the possessive noun.
Okay.
Lucas.
Lucas Wine and Spirits Superstore.
That was so good.
I do know that it's in a class by itself.
Yeah,
I might not know much, but I know it's in a class by itself. So caller number 6 to 913-576-7610 wins a $25 gift card to Lucas Wine and Spirits Superstore. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll get into a brand spanking new Levine's List. But, oh, it's been a while. Let's all take a minute, BK. Now, I want to play this for you, and this is Chauncey Billups talking about Carmelo Anthony. I don't want you to think about it in the sense of Carmelo Anthony. Tell me another basketball player you think fits under these parameters. This audio is courtesy of SiriusXM.
Melo was like a good teammate, man. He didn't miss any games. Now, the only thing I will say, and I've even told Melo this, scoring 30 meant too much to Melo. It meant too much. He could have games where he had 20-22, we win the game, and he's mad. He might have 36, and he's in there, you know, we lose the game, and he's in there picking everybody up. Scoring 30 meant too much. But I think now you look fast forward to tape, and the reason why he's not in the league, because he's still worthy, is he hasn't mentally taken that step back to say, okay, I'll come in and play against backups. I'll try to help the team out. I know I might not be able to close, but I just want to help.
So that audio is courtesy of SiriusXM and it's Chauncey Billups talking about Carmelo Anthony. Who's another basketball player you feel this way about? There's no doubt in my mind James Harden is this way.
Russell Westbrook.
There's no doubt in my mind Harden is that way. Harden scores 27 and they still win and he didn't get to prolong his streak of scoring 30 consecutive. I'll never forget that Rachel Nichols like kind of played a joke and said, are you going to try to score 30 in the All-Star game to keep your streak intact? And he legitimately thought that they were going to count him scoring 30 in the All-Star game to his 30. He was like, really, that counts? Like, he was going to go out there with the intention of putting up 32 shots in the All-Star game. There's no player in the NBA that cares more about scoring 30 than James Harden.
Devin Booker might be up there.
Devin Booker definitely is up there.
My question is, which name begins with a C is weirder, Carrington or Chauncey? Be honest with us now. Would you rather be a Chauncey or a Carrington? I'd rather be a Chauncey, I'm just saying.
I'd rather be a Chauncey, too.
All right, we're a couple of Chaunceys.
Chauncey.
VK, give a minute.
C-Dot.
So I'm reading Bill Barnwell of ESPN earlier today.
C-Dot Billups.
This doesn't work as well. But in the article was titled The Best Offensive Arsenal, so I figured I'm going to read the article. My team, the Chiefs, is probably at the very top, and I read the article, and it says, and I quote, when I was compiling my rankings for each NFL team's offensive weaponry last year, the Chiefs came out at number one. I was a little surprised. I ran the rosters again, and they were still the tops. Then he goes on to say how good they are and all the weapons that they have, and they've got the best quarterback. And then I read the list, and he's got him at number two. Now, I don't have that much of a problem with it. I think there's probably four or five teams that you could argue that have the best offense in the league or the best offensive weapons. As good as the Chiefs were last year, and we put out this stat a lot on the show, they were the third offense last year in the history of the NFL to average 35 points per game. We compared them to the Rams. We compared them to the Saints. We compared them to, like, the Colts and the Chargers, some of the best offenses in the league. There was big separation between what the Chiefs did at 35.7 points per game and the second-best offense, which was the Saints, at 30 points a game. So, again, I'm not suggesting the Chiefs are going to be the best. I agree with Barnwell. There could be three or four different teams. Here is his list, if you're curious, his top five. Minnesota, Philly, Cleveland, the Chiefs, and number one, he had the Rams with more offensive weapons in Kansas City.
What's the difference between a ranking and a Levine's list?
Levine's list are better.
Okay.
Levine's list are from Sean.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why they almost always suck else. Because they're okay. My own personal list. I give you what I like. Not necessarily what the people like. It's what I like.
Big difference between the two.
Okay. I just wanted to know. I wasn't. See, that's why when you always talk, we talk about getting rid of Levine's list. We're getting a list on this show in some capacity. So I'd much rather be yours than Bill Barnwell's. I don't know him. I'm sure he's a great gentleman. I follow him on Twitter. He's a great Twitter follower.
BK, he had your Falcons at 10, New England at 9, the Giants at 8, New Orleans at 7, and Dallas at 6.
Yeah, the Giants at 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've got some offensive weapons. That's why I hit puberty
outside
on the radio.
Outside of Saquon, I mean, Evan Ingram's okay?
Yeah, I guess they don't
Who's
have that
their
many
best receiver? Is it Sterling Shepard?
Yeah. I actually wanted him to name a receiver on the Giants. I was.
Can
really...
you name another?
No. Can I get on Google? No, I cannot.
For someone that wants to win their fantasy football league, I'd start getting on that immediately.
Probably
you know
should.
What I mean?
Yeah.
I'd start getting on that immediately.
They got Golden Tate. So you got that going for you. All right, it's time for a BK Big Brother update.
Oh, great.
Bella has completely ruined her social game at this point. She's on my Big Brother fantasy team. She ain't doing so well. She revealed her all-girl alliance to Nicole. Nicole then went and told Jessica. Jessica's up on the block. Jessica went up and told the head of household. If Jessica stays, Bella in an absolutely terrible spot right now. Sam has found himself, meanwhile, in a really good spot. Everybody in the house seems to like him. He's winning competitions that matter. He's got power, and he's using it in the right way. He didn't use the POV this week, which was a really smart move. He was able to go to Jack and say, basically, listen, you're the best player in the game right now. I'll do whatever you want me to do. So we decided against using it. The one guy I would say that we're probably sleeping on a little bit right now is David. Yeah, he ended up out of the house in week one, but he's in camp comeback right now, and he's reading the house really well. If he's able to come back whenever the comeback competition is over, I think he could be a real threat whenever he gets back into the house. That is my Big Brother minute of the day.
What language is that? I never know what you're talking about.
You still reference the Zambezi Zinger and Farrah Fawcett.
As I should. Now, maybe not Farrah Fawcett, although she was, you know, hotter than Farrah Fawcett in a forest fire. If you say one more thing about the Zambezi Zinger, you're going to be in trouble.
And Corey Dillon and penicillin.
Yeah, so hold on. I mean, I'm with you. I don't know what BK's talking about. You can't be the one to deliver that message, though.
That may as well have been French to me the last 2 minutes. I have no idea what he just said.
I still can't believe that you started watching Game of Thrones to the second to last episode and then was like, I don't know what's going on.
And then complained that he didn't understand it.
I have no idea what that show was about. Like some dragon blowing a bunch of fire.
Coming up at 3 o'clock, we will give you another chance to win a gift card. We actually have $200 to give away to Rye on the Plaza in the 3 o'clock hour. So if you want to go to Rye on the Plaza, really good meal. I like getting brunch there. If you want to go there, keep it locked in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll give you a chance. We'll also give you a chance to win an MVP golf cart during the pop quiz. Oh, but it's been time. Play that funky music, BK. Oh, it's back.
Such buildup just for a minor Levine's list.
It's back.
Here we go. Here's your honorable mention, Levine's List, top 10 favorite cereals
of
all time. Honorable mention, shout out to Rice Krispies, Snap Crackle and Pop, Corn Pops, Trix, Cheerios. And you tell me there's different kinds of Cheerios, right, Carrington?
Yes, there are different kinds of Cheerios. There is
you
honey
weren't aware
nut
of
Cheerios,
this?
There's apple cinnamon Cheerios. I'm sure they have more. There's whole grain Cheerios. They just didn't stop with the yellow box and then just discontinued the rest
was
of the
it.
Line.
Also, shout out to Reese's Puffs. If you haven't had those, you're doing yourself a disservice.
That didn't make your top 10?
Didn't make my top 10. Here we
go. Wow.
Number
Big
10,
upset.
Number 10, Apple Jacks. Number 9, Cocoa Puffs. I've only wanted to do one Puffs, and Cocoa Puffs are better than Reese's Puffs. So number 9, Cocoa Puffs. Number
what?
8, Raisin Bran. And hear this one out because nobody likes Bran. There's a lot of raisins in Raisin
what?
Bran. Let me get through my list before you crush it. All right, Raisin Bran. Lots and lots of raisins. Number 7, Frosted Flakes. Number 6, Fruity Pebbles. Here's my top 5,
put
guys.
Put raisins in another type of cereal.
Can I get through the list before you crush it?
No, that's what this is for.
Damn it. Number 5, Captain Crunch. Number 4, Fruit Loops. Number 3, Cocoa Pebbles, the best of all of the cocoa cereals. Number 2, Lucky Charms. And the GOAT, the greatest cereal of all time. I could eat these by the handful, and I often do, without milk or with milk, either way. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
For handfuls?
Yeah. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Scoop it up with a hand?
That's your list. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, Cocoa Pebbles, Fruit Loops, Cap'n Crunch, Fruity Pebbles, Frosted Flakes, Raisin Bran, Apple Jacks, and Cocoa Puffs. Not crushing it.
Regular Cap'n Crunch?
Mm-hmm.
Not Crunch Berries?
I like regular Cap'n Crunch better. Crunch Berries are
good.
Did
you know that there is a Crunch Berries?
I did. I didn't know there were 7 different types of Cheerios like Carrington was describing. You got these kind of Cheerios. You got Honey Nut Cheerios. You got the Wheat Cheerios. I thought Cheerios were Cheerios. Yes, I'm aware that there were different kinds of crunch.
Raisin Bran?
You ever had it? Honestly, have you ever
had it? Yes, everyone's eaten Raisin Bran before in their life.
The bran part is nasty. The raisin part is phenomenal. And Raisin Bran in particular does a really good job of putting a lot of raisins.
Do you take Metamucil after the Raisin Bran? Like, what's the process here? Like, when you wake up, do you sprinkle a little bit over it like it's sugar?
It's really neither here nor there.
Do you maybe cut a little bananas up into it to kind of spice it up a little bit?
I do put bananas in my cereal.
Put a little honey on the top of it?
What's it to you? I might.
That wasn't one of your worst lists.
Thank you. I'll take it.
I didn't love the list.
What's your favorite cereal of all time?
I'm a really big Honey Bunches of Oats person.
Didn't even make my honorable mention.
I actually like Reese's Puffs. It's probably my favorite.
Reese's Puffs are good.
I'm a big Reese's Puffs person.
Reese's Puffs are good.
coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We will do something far better than that list.
They look forward to the list, then they crush it, then they're disappointed in me for 3 hours. It's like a daily process.
That's one of my favorite parts of the show, actually.
Yeah, I love it.
Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we will give you 4 chances to win $50 to Rye on the Plaza. They make an incredible brunch. You can get out of there for cheaper than $87 like Sean Levine did. So if you want to go ahead and take, but don't use this on the first date.
Use it on the first date.
Don't use it on the first date, but the second or third one, you can do that. But before we get to that, let's give you another chance to win a prize.
And Ryan going to air. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Today's prize is an MVP golf cart. The MVP golf cart allows you to save big on rounds of golf in the KC metro area. Courses like Adams Point, Heart of America Golf Academy, Swope Memorial, Minor Park, Sycamore Ridge. For just $99, it gets you 2 rounds of golf at each of your 5 favorite courses. That's a $340 value. Get yours now at MVPGolfKC.com. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll catch up with Josh Ferdinand. But first, today's pop quiz is a movie. Hit it, BK.
Time as ruler rises and falls like the sun. One day, the sun will set on my time here and will rise with you.
The text line wants to know if you washed down the Raisin Bran with prune juice.
They're saying it was worse than my list of top 10 best sodas.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true.
No, that one was worse than this one. Coming up in 2 minutes, don't turn that dial. Josh Vernier in studio. Bubba Starling here. Josh Vernier. Well, it's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.